Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway, brought to you by Harvest Ridge Coffee and Refreshment Services Pepsi. Oh, love my Harvest Ridge this morning. Have my hazelnut creamer in, but really doesn't need anything because it's good just as it is. I just don't like it black, but that's okay. I got to have a little sweetener in mine. It's a premier coffee. The beans are always hand roasted in small batches, and you're going to get a great fresh cup of coffee, whether you have it at your home or whether it's delivered to your workplace, just like the big Pepsi truck comes up to the Radio Ranch once a month, drops off our freshly ground Harvest Ridge coffee, or you can get it while you're out and about at your local convenience stores. A rich, sophisticated, delicious coffee experience brought to you by Refreshment Services Pepsi. It's Harvest Ridge Coffee. Well, we're a week early when it comes to talking about our mental health, but that's okay. We need about a week to prepare for what will be our mental health biggest challenge of the year, and that's dealing with our family. As my mother says, Christmas is not a time to have fun. It is a time to spend with your family, and so Melissa McKelvey is here. Good morning.
Good morning, Mary.
You know, as we come to the end of the year, the days are shorter now. We're reaching into a time when people are becoming more naturally depressed because there's not as much sunlight. A beautiful day like today, get out and just kind of not at the sun, but stare up at the sky.
Yes.
Give yourself 15 minutes of sky staring, and it will boost your mood, elevate you with those natural hormones that you need. But for some people, just looking at a nice bright sky isn't going to be enough to get them out of their depression. They've had a loss this year. They may have had a divorce, a loss of a loved one, a child, oh God, may have died. They may have lost their pet. They may have lost their job. They may have taken a new job and found out it wasn't what I thought it was. There's a lot of disappointments. And the end of the year, when everybody's talking about their New Year's resolutions, et cetera, is a time when disappointments can start to mount, really. So what kind of advice do you have from Cornerstone to help people get through these busy holiday season and then moving into January, where the expectations of the holidays then come crashing down, and all we have left is bills and darkness.
Right. Well, there's two different things we're looking at here, Mary, right? One is seasonal affective disorder. So that's what you get, like you described, that a few days like Saturday, oh, goodness.
Yeah, 2 inches of rain.
Grayness, yeah. Cold, rainy, yeah. Right? And our chemical serotonin is less in our brain because fewer hours of sunlight, and we can get naturally more depressed. Serotonin helps us regulate our mood, and without sunlight, we have less serotonin regulation, our mood regulation goes down, and we can just feel lousy, more depressed. And that's different from our holiday blues that we get, right? Around the holidays, like you said, if we've had a loss, whether it's someone we care about, a relationship that's no longer here, a job, a home, whatever. We can
have
some loss.
That's kind of more situational.
Yes.
So something happened to make you sad, whereas opposed to the other is the weather or the lack of sunlight is contributing to your sadness.
Absolutely.
So, and if you get the double whammy of two happening at once, you can really be in the blues for a long time.
Right. So during the holidays, if you're feeling those holiday blues because it's not everything you thought it was going to be, or, you know, every peppy Christmas tune is driving you crazy.
Will I get a pony this year? I've been wanting one for 65 years. Will this year be the year I get a pony?
Exactly. Then, you know, there's a couple things, Mary. One is you may want to push yourself a little bit to get out and be around people. Don't isolate. Don't stay at home, even if that bed is calling you, right? There may be reasons to get out and see your family, see your friends, see the people who really can uplift you. We've all been in that place where we're like, I don't want to go, but we go and we feel better.
Or even if you don't want to be around your family or people you know, perhaps, just go to a concert. Like tomorrow night, Culver Stockton's got a beautiful Christmas concert. The music will be soothing and uplifting. This Sunday, Quincy Park Band has a free concert.
Yes.
So, you know, again, you may see people you know, but there's no expectation that you have to be with your family or with your coworkers or whatever. Because, again, even office Christmas parties this time of year can be kind of
touchy.
Right. And Mary, I love that point because I will tell my clients, you know, connection doesn't have to just be with people you know. Go out to TJ Maxx and hold the door open for somebody, right? Make eye contact.
Be a bell ringer. If you really want to get people that love you and hate you simultaneously, ring a bell for the Salvation Army and they'll be like, stop ringing that bell.
I'll stop
if you put money in my till. Yeah.
Yes, yes. And, you know, for it also doesn't mean we have to do everything everybody wants us to do, right? If you've got the holiday blues and you need to feel it for a little bit, feel it. Just don't let it become everything, right? If you need to sit there and grieve and be alone and think about your person or your job or your house or your pet, go ahead and then get out and do something.
Right. You know, obviously Christmas has a religious and spiritual meaning, and it is on December 25th and it's not going to change. But much of the pressure that we put on ourselves for Christmas has nothing to do with that one singular act, the birth of a Savior. And so if you say to myself, I can't do much, stick only maybe to the spiritual things or the uplifting things. And if you don't have a church family, that's okay. Find a service somewhere and just go. Because again, you don't have to be with people you know. You can be with people who share the same vision, that it's not all about how much you rang up your credit card, how much debt you incurred in order to show everybody how much you love them, which is really hard because every year I say, no, I'm not going to buy presents, and then every year more and more presents appear, especially I just can't resist buying things for the little kids. Mm-hmm. And the problem with that is they get so much, they don't even know.
Right.
Yeah. But again, it's pressure we put on ourselves, although I really enjoy buying this stuff, and I buy it all year long. So I really have fun when I'm up in Niagara Falls and in Canada buying things for the littles. Now I haven't looked at it for 6 months. Now I'll drag it out, I'll wrap it, and it'll be so exciting. But again, I really got the joy out of buying it because by the time I give it to them, it'll be one of 3 million presents they receive. And the excitement, you know, it's more exciting for me to buy it than it is to give it. I think that's part of the problem.
Yes.
Some people really get a lot of joy out of buying gifts, and if you do that, Toys for Tots is right up your alley.
Right, right.
If you like buying things and you don't necessarily have to see them receive it, you can always find a way to kind of get your inner juices going.
And to tie that with the spiritual piece, Mary, there's a lot of research out there that shows being a part of something bigger than yourself makes you feel better. And so sometimes that's religion, sometimes it's a volunteer group, but being part of something bigger than yourself makes you feel better. So,
yeah, that is so true. And again, psychologically, that is true. Whether you believe in God, a higher power, whatever you want to call the creator of the universe, or if you're a Big Bang Theory, it just happens simultaneously. Right. It really doesn't matter because whatever caused it to happen, feeling connected to other people makes us feel better. So however it all happened, something hardwired us to need others.
Yes.
We were not made to live in isolation. In fact, the way to punish people is to put them in isolation.
Good point.
And so don't punish yourself by being isolated. If you can't find a group naturally that you feel like you belong to, find a group of strangers who you think might share some of the same experiences or feelings you do. I know tonight there's a grieving group that meets for people who have lost a loved one to suicide.
Mm-hmm.
So there are all kinds of things you can do to help you get through this time of year. When do we figure out if medication is necessary? Because getting the Christmas blues or the January no sunlight blues, I suffer from seasonal affective disorder, so I do have to change my dosage.
Mm-hmm.
I take about 50% more medication in January than I do in July. And my doctor's been regulating that over years, and I've been on antidepressant medications for so many years that I really don't know what my life is like without that. Except I do remember when I didn't take them that my life was not very good. And I will tell you that I'm not good about taking my medicine sometimes. I have my little pill holder, and it'll be like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Wednesday will come, and I'm like, why are Monday and Tuesday still not opened? I forgot to take them. So I notice my blood pressure going up, even though it doesn't have any symptoms. you can just tell, I got a little bit of a headache or I'm feeling a little bit blue. When you miss a dose, you definitely feel it. But if you haven't had the experience of how much medication can help, because when they first told me I need a medication, I'm like, oh, great, you know, one more thing to buy that I can't afford. So how would you encourage people to make that discussion, to have the discussion, do I need medication or can I just look at the sun or can I just, you know, exercise more? Because if you're really, really chemically off, it's going to take more than just a sunny day to bring you back to midline.
You know, people have such different feelings about and beliefs about medication, Mary. So, you know, there's always, if you're one that isn't keen on medicine, right, start with those other things first. Hey, get out into some more sunshine, sit by a window more often, talk to your doctor about taking vitamin D. You know, like we were just talking, get out and socialize or be a part of a group. But if you are doing all those things and you still can't shake it, right? And your mood is low, you're sleeping too much, you're eating all the carbs in your house, you know, then it's time to go talk to your doctor, right? Talk to them and be like, I don't want to take medicine, but I can feel that I'm just not myself, right? I'm not enjoying things, the things I used to love doing, I haven't done in weeks, months, and I just know I'm not myself. I'm not giving my best to my family, my work, my community, and to have a conversation about it.
The conversation is tough. I was there, folks. I was there 35 years ago. And let me tell you, it's so difficult to describe how much better you will feel,
mm-hmm.
but how you have to be in the trough. You have to get down pretty low before you ask for help. So the first thing I would say is if you've been low for a while, get some help. Don't be afraid to ask. It's probably not going to get better on its own, especially not this time of year.
Yes.
So if you've been in a trough since July, you need to call today. And your primary care physician can sometimes prescribe or get you in with someone very quickly as on a referral.
Yes.
And then it will take a while to get that medication adjusted. I remember when I first started, I got a little over-medicated one time and, your left leg has been severed at the knee. I don't care. Everything's great, you know. So it takes a while to get it so you're not too high and you're not
right.
too low. It takes a while to get that. But once you have that as your way of life, and yes, do I still get sad? Of course I get sad. I get joyous and I get sad,
mm-hmm.
but I don't, it's different. And it's hard
right.
to explain unless you've had the medicine that helps you.
Yes.
So if medication is something that can help you, please try to seek that. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to hear how you can help Cornerstone raise money for his programs and how you can have a really good time and get out of your winter doldrums with Dancing with the Local Stars. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Well, of course, if you need help dealing with any mental illnesses, the Suicide Prevention Coalition is there to help you. Cornerstone and other agencies are there to help you. Drew Quintero has moved over into the primary seat now.
Yes,
welcome.
I have. Hello.
It's so great to have you here. You are going to talk about an event that will boost everyone's spirits and help raise money for Cornerstone, Dancing with the Local Stars. Tell us
That's
all about
right.
it, please.
Well, Mary, this year we're shouting hooray for Hollywood as Dancing with Local Stars goes to the movies. On Friday, February 7th, we have 10 phenomenal teams all cha-chaing their way across that stage in hopes of winning that Mirror Ball trophy. And tickets are on sale right now. And through January 5th, tickets are only $75 a person. After January 5th, on January 6th, those will increase to $100. So get those tickets now. Get your friends together. Get a table. Table seat, 8 people. Friends, families, make it a night out, you know. The holidays will be over. You're looking for that little boost of fun in your life. Dancing with Local Stars is the place to be on Friday, February 7th at the Ambiance.
The great thing about this is you can give an event for Christmas. You can,
yes!
You can have tickets and say, hey, you know, this is our table of eight.
Yeah.
Make our plans. On Friday night, February 7th, I'm gifting you this. You open it up on Christmas. You're with your family and say, guess what? We're all going to get together. We're going to help Cornerstone.
Yeah.
We're going to have a great time. Hooray for Hollywood.
Hooray
that
for Hollywood.
Broad.
It is very broad. So our 10 teams are all dancing to well-known songs from movies. So,
like Oscar-winning songs from movies?
Not necessarily. Just, you know, you think Saturday Night Fever, Staying Alive. There you go.
Today is the anniversary. Did you hear?
No.
1977. Everybody's life changed on this date. You weren't even born, were you?
No.
No. Today is the day that Saturday Night Fever premiered.
Listen, I saw that movie probably way too young, but I love it. And then when the show became a musical, my cousin who loves it, we went to the Fox to see it. So it's a great day. It's a great day.
That changed.
Yeah.
That was a sea change.
Absolutely.
You know, in a musical genre. So, of course,
right.
somebody
yeah.
will probably do that
I'm hoping
style.
So. Yes. You know,
but
so.
We really don't know what kind of styles until yeah. we go, do we?
That's right. It's all a surprise, but it is a great night, great entertainment, and for a great cause. I call it Quincy's favorite fun razor, F-U-N razor. There you go, friends. Take that one for you.
Oh, my gosh, Drew. This raises money for a very important cause, and that is Cornerstone.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about what you do with this money, because not everyone can afford. I mean, we joke about psychiatric and psychological experiences can be expensive.
Absolutely.
We're getting better at having
yes.
Our health insurance pay for it. But it's still not, there's a copay or something. And some,
mm-hmm.
some people can't afford that. So what does this money go to?
So this money all goes back directly into Cornerstone and our nonprofit programs that range from helping new and expectant mothers through the obstacles of being a new time mom, our youth programs, and also our sliding fee scale program, which allows people to receive therapy for as low as $20 a session. It's based on income, insurance, things like that. But all of that money goes back into the community and providing quality mental health care for those who might be unable to afford it or in a place in their life where things are just piling up, and we're here to help.
Okay. It is Friday night, February 7th at the Ambiance.
At the Ambiance.
A dinner is part of this.
Dinner as well.
Part of this. 10 couples will be performing, and they are professionally trained by locals.
Yes.
So this is good stuff. This is just like, hey, come up out of the audience and see if you can do it. Hooray for Hollywood. If you want to get your tickets for El Cheapo, like I love, $75 per person up until January 5th.
January 5th at 11:59. Those tickets are still $75. After that, they will increase to $100, and you can get your tickets now by visiting our website, cornerstone-quincy.org, or giving us a call at 217-222-8254.
That number again, please.
217-222-8254. And follow us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. And you will get all of the updates, all previews of who the dancers are, ways to donate to their people's choice, and information on tickets and the event.
Okay, thank you very much. I've already got my tickets.
Yay!
And I will be there. I'm a cheapskate. You know I bought them early. We'll take a break when we come back. The Friends of Justice are waiting to get on, as are representatives from the Arts Center. So we'll be right back with those groups. Stay tuned. We are back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. The Quincy Arts Center is open this year between Christmas and New Year's. So if you've got folks visiting from out of town, I've got folks visiting from out of town. Libby is here. And wow, you've made a decision
Good
to stay
morning.
Open so that people can come and visit you.
That's right. We realized that a lot of people have friends and family visiting Quincy from out of town during that week. And we've been closed during that week for a really long time and made a decision this year to stay open and welcome people in to see the exhibit.
Well, this is a great exhibit. You're going to be open Thursday the 26th from 11 to 6. Friday the 27th from 11 to 6, and Saturday the 28th from 11 to 6. The Mary Oakley and Lee Lindsay Artist Showcase will be up and showing at that time.
That's right.
These are the very best artists of our area. This is a juried competition. They've already decided the winners. So if you want to see, there are dozens of these items on display. So get in and see that local exhibit, because it does shut down January 4th. You still have a few days after the new year to see it, but you know, definitely if you are out and about Thursday, Friday, or Saturday after Christmas from 11 to 6, stop by the Art Center at 1515 Jersey and see what there is. Then, of course, after that big exhibit, which is kind of the, for many people, the big grandmama, I guess, since it's named after two ladies, the grandmama of them all. But it's not over there. It's always something at the Art Center, your high school art competition.
That's right. It is in its 51st year. Wow. This show has been going on for many years. It's a tradition. And it's kind of like the, I would say, the little sister to the Mary S. Oakley. Mm-hmm. So it's a very similar show, but for high school students.
For kids who say, hey, someday I'd like to be a professional artist, or at least have my artwork win a prize.
Mm-hmm.
So this is how they get started. So,
yeah.
I mean, most of the art teachers around the high schools know about this.
They do.
But let's talk to the people who have a high schooler that's a grandchild or a child.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to enter. It's time to enter.
Yeah, it is. So let them know. It's open to kids, ages high school kids, 9th through 12th grade. It's open to Adams County, Illinois, Audrain County, Missouri, Brown County, Illinois, a whole host of other counties.
Basically in this general area, if you can hear WTAD, you're probably eligible
to be
part of this. They want it to be both sides of the river, so go ahead and do that.
They can enter up to 3 works for only $12 and then win potentially a best of show prize of $500.
And, of course, this will all be judged at the Teen Takeover reception on Saturday, February 1st from 1 to 3, and that's when the awards will be handed out. The show is up from February 1st to February 27th at the Art Center. And again, they can start bringing in their submissions before Christmas, December 18th through the 21st, or then after Christmas, starting again on January 8th. So if you want to submit up to 3 works, the worst that can happen is you don't win.
And that's right. The worst that can happen is you don't win or you don't get in. And every artist will tell you that's just part of the game. It happens, and then you try again next year.
Try again. Okay. Obviously, the kiddos know how to go on your Facebook page and do all the social media. So, folks, encourage those high schoolers from 9th through 12th grade. If they have some kind of skill in the arts, whether that's sculpture or painting or pastels or photography or whatever.
That's right.
Everything.
And digital art.
Digital art. Everything is on the table for the 51st Annual High School Art Competition, and prizes will be awarded. Thank you so very much. And don't forget, the Art Center is open Thursday, Friday, and Saturday after Christmas from 11 to 6 for your viewing pleasure. We'll take a real quick break. When we come back, the Friends of Justice will be here to talk. Thank you.
Thank you.
We are back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Jack Miller is here. He is the chief executive officer of the new group called Friends of Justice. And we're going to be talking about why this group formed and all about it. We also have police officer Curtis Kelty here, who is also with this nonprofit, Friends of Justice. So, Jack, we'll start with you. Tell us a little bit about yourself. We'll go into the story of why you wanted to get this founded, but just for now, just tell us a little bit about yourself and your interest in forming this group.
Well,
get up right to that microphone, buddy.
Okay.
You can pull it to you if you feel more comfortable. There you go. But just make sure you talk right into it.
You got a high jack, aren't you? Okay. I'm retired. I'm a local businessman for 30 years. I fortunately had an opportunity to meet one of our victims while they were working for me.
Okay.
And I'm a veteran. And after keeping track of what happened with her case over the years, I got talking to the local DA, and with the help of Gary Farhall, He got me into setting up an organization to raise money for big rewards.
Okay, that sounds great. We'll talk more about that. Curtis Kelty, what tell us a little bit about yourself and your involvement in this organization.
Well, I've been involved in law enforcement in Quincy for a long time. I was with the Quincy Police Department for 24 years, and I spent 9 years as security supervisor for Quincy Public Schools, and I've been the chief of police out at John Wood now for the last year and a half. And this was brought to me as an initiative to try to help police solve cold cases. It's something I'm interested in, and so I lend any support I could to it to help with this.
This time of year, of course, the JonBenet Ramsey case, that's made national headlines for years. They have now, with DNA testing, people that they thought were high prospects for being the murderer. No, it's not the mother. DNA has ruled her out. No, it's not the father. DNA has ruled him out. No, it's not the brother. DNA has ruled him out. Somebody killed that little girl, and we still don't know who did it. Mm-hmm. There are cold cases right here in our area, Jack Miller, that you are concerned about, and you think that offering a reward will encourage some people, while not the killer, to come forward. You feel that if the reward is big enough, that somebody will come out of the woodwork and say, I have information critical.
We have had Reed come forward to the police department. Since I thought stir in the bush, as they say, the group formed about 6 months ago. Prior to that, I have a lot of meetings with the police department. But middle of last summer, then there's been activity in trying to get leads. I've been told that the police department has been more days than not working on cold cases now. There are phone calls being made. We have got some large rewards out there that have been put on from TV stations.
And radio stations.
And radio stations, yeah. And,
so you think money, basically the bottom line is money is going to motivate.
Yeah. A lot of these cases are so old that the people that know something are tired of not talking. They're willing to talk. And then a little bit of money on some of them, and we're talking thousands of dollars. We got Mr. Green, we got $10,000 for. Nancy, we got $1,000 right now. And we're just now getting started. I've got 75 companies I'm going to call on. I only called on six.
So you're going to ask for people to make donations.
Yes.
Let's get a police officer's point of view on this. Curtis Kelty, you know, is money going to shake the tree? Is money going to make the difference? Because you've collected evidence. Is it now a matter of should we be retesting some of the old evidence now that we have new techniques? Or what's going to make a difference?
No, that's an excellent question. In most cold cases, they're not going to be solved by finding new physical evidence.
Right, because it's been so long, that's gone.
Right, yeah. Well, you mentioned the JonBenet case. You know, some of those older cases that maybe had occurred prior to DNA testing, maybe they've been able to go back and look at some of those, or they were in the early stages of DNA. DNA has become more refined, and they can do more with it now. So you will see a little bit of that, but a lot of the cold cases that get solved because somebody comes forward. Somebody who has information comes forward and will now report something to the police. And,
okay.
You know, maybe at the time of the crime they were reluctant to do so, fear of retaliation, or they didn't want their friends to know that they were, going to report to the police or something. And after a period of time passes, they become more open to that. You know, their relationships change. They're not afraid of the suspect anymore, or that sort of thing happens. And then, what we're hoping here with this is the money would just be an encouragement to them to kind of prompt that for them to come forward.
Okay.
It's not to make them testify to something they don't know already. It's just to bring them forward where they might be reluctant to otherwise.
And that may lead up. Yes, the evidence already been collected and everything, but it may lead to another thing. You mentioned, Mr. Miller, the Nancy Streit matter case. Street matter. 12 years ago, 48-year-old woman found dead in a fire scene. obviously at the time, you know, I remember reporting on this. I remember reporting on the Dennis Green murder, shot and killed on his front porch. Antoine Hunt, killed in his apartment. Clyde Jackson, killed in the parking lot at the apartment building out on North 12th Street. That happened in 2008. Way, way back in 1993, Michael McAfee, discovered in the South Bottom area, shot and killed. So these range from 5 years ago to 12 years ago to 31 years ago, and people are still searching for answers. And you think that by having a bigger pool for reward money or solicitation to come forward, that's going to make the difference. Now, you mentioned that the Dennis Green case has already had a $10,000 reward, and that's been around now for a couple of weeks. Have you seen direct results from that, or is it still too early?
We've had a discussion over the phone, not with me, but with the authorities, that it's a game changer.
Okay, good. So it's not you who's collecting this information. You're leaving it to law enforcement to do the investigation.
Law enforcement. Now, I have received some phone calls from potential witnesses, but I refer them to the police department. I'm just here to raise money to get these people who's on the fence, jump off and do something. The Nancy Street matter, she worked for me. Mm-hmm. And she was a really good server out of the veterans home. People liked her so well when she wasn't working, they yelled at me. I mean, they were rude out there. And then she got into, she helped her son out, and as a result, she combated bad people, end up doing something terrible to her. It was a malicious, deadly way of dying.
So she was almost collateral damage. It wasn't that they were trying to get her. She was collateral damage on something else.
Yes.
Okay. So you're not looking for somebody who had a beef against Nancy Street matter. You're looking for whoever burned her house down and killed her inside the house.
Yeah. It was a warehouse on Front Street.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe I shouldn't say this, but if public knowledge that she was burned beyond recognition. Mm-hmm. But she had smoke in her lungs. We told you she may or may not have been dead when she was burned.
Right.
So it was a very ugly thing. And after these cold cases, if we're fortunate, we saw most of them. And a lot of our campaign and raising funds, it's for a 2-year period, then we have to renew them.
Okay.
And then after that, there's some heinous crimes that we want to look at.
You're trying to raise money, and what's the best way for people to give to this fund? Let's get down to brass tacks, because, if we want these crimes solved, this is a way to, you know, literally beat the bushes, and these bushes are old and overgrown, but there are people out there who know something, and just trying to convince them to talk about it, that's why the money shakes that tree a little bit. How can we give to Friends of Justice Incorporated, which is a not-for-profit?
Right. They can call me at number 217-209-2041.
Just give you a call at that number?
Yep, and I'll talk to them about making an appointment and give them any details they want to know about our corporation, how we function, and so forth.
Okay, 217-209-2041. I have one question for both of you before I let you go. There's always, when I first heard this, I thought, this is great, this is brilliant, this is fabulous. And then I thought, do I really want to give $10,000 to some person who is of fairly low moral character just because they know a criminal? Have you received any backlash from people who say, I don't want to give reward money to people who, not directly involved in the crime, but yuck, you know, they swing with a low circle?
None whatsoever.
Okay.
Everybody I admit, think this is a good idea. Every law agency we got here in the community has written some.
Yeah, like Gary Farha, the former prosecutor.
And the chief of police, mm-hmm. the sheriff, task force.
Yeah, the chief is very supportive.
Yeah. If I had those kind of recommendations when I was in business, I would retire a lot more wealthier than I am, okay? Every one of them is behind it, 110%. And this is going to solve a lot of agony among the families.
Oh.
Victims and the community would feel better and thinking that maybe these people can't get away with it.
Right. Curtis Kelty, real quick, your response. Is there some fear that you're rewarding people with monetary information when they should have come forward years ago if they were the good citizens that they are?
Well, yeah, I think that's certainly a consideration. But like I said before, we're not looking for somebody to come in and try to make up information that will just help them get reward money. You know, any information that they would give would have to lead to conviction. And, you know, it will be looked at. You know, a lot of times in most of these cases, there's information that the police don't release to the public.
Right.
So if somebody has that kind of information, then that adds veracity to what they're saying. And,
okay.
You know, it's valid information. So
we've got to go. We'll give you the phone number one more time. 217-209-2041. That's 217-209-2041. Friends of Justice. Thank you.